I want you to take a moment and in your mind's eye, recall a place where you were able to see a lot of stars. Where were you? Were you alone? Were you sharing the view? How did it make you feel to see the expanse of the sky? Chances are, wherever you were, it was probably out in the country, somewhere without a lot to obscure the view, somewhere where you had time to stargaze, sometime when you were open to the idea of looking up. I have had some of my best stargazing in the Texas Hill Country. There's no tall trees to get in the way. It's amazing. No clouds, just the heavens. Here in San Antonio, we do not always have the most unobscured view of the night sky. We have what they call light pollution. Light from streets, homes, businesses, and more dull our eyes so that we cannot see as well the stars above our heads. There's no more stars in the Hill Country than there are in San Antonio. You can just see them better. Light pollution doesn't just dim the beauty of the night sky, it's also bad for our health. Light pollution and the disruption of our natural circadian rhythms of our bodies has been found to cause depression, obesity, sleep disruption, and cancer. Humans are not the only ones affected by this light pollution stuff. It hurts animals as well. It causes newborn sea turtles to go the wrong way and end up in a busy street rather than the ocean because they're supposed to like go towards the light of the stars in the ocean, and instead they go the other way. It disrupts the ability of nocturnal animals to hunt and navigate when they're reliant on that darkness as their natural habitat. It also hurts migrating birds. It causes confusion and exhaustion as they make their way north or south. The Bear Audubon Society reminds folks during the peak migrating season, and San Antonio is in a beautiful place for bird watching because we are on a highway here. This is where the birds come every year in the fall and the spring on their way to what's next. But the Bear Audubon Society will remind San Antonians to turn off their lights during certain peak migrating seasons so that the birds can find their way. Artificial light, while very helpful if you want to read a book or you're going camping and you need to find the bathroom, is also harmful and distracting. This third Sunday of Advent is the Joy Sunday, the Light of the World Sunday, the Rejoice at All Times, and the Liberation and Release Sunday, but not in an artificial floodlight kind of way, not in a somebody with LED lights as their headlights kind of way. Those things are crazy, aren't they? It's not that kind of glaring artificial light. There's so much of it everywhere in our lives, right? So much to distract us. We have constant access to things that can distract us from what's really going on. You don't want to deal with your own dark night of the soul? Fine, watch Gilmore Girls on Netflix. We have podcasts and music and 24-hour Denny's, all kinds of things that we can distract ourselves by. We may miss things because they're drowned out by the glare of the artificial. I wonder when we're out in nature and we are able to hear and see things that we can't hear and see things in normal life, if we could just turn off our lights outside and go out and listen. We cannot see the natural and miraculous light of the world when we're constantly distracted by the disco lights and light-up billboards of modern living. The artificial light that distracts us from our path will exhaust and confuse us just like the migrating birds. It will send us the wrong direction and keep us from peace. The kind of light that Jesus inhabits is more of, it's so dark, I can see the Milky Way kind of light. It's the first hint of dawn and the pink on the horizon. That's another beautiful thing about that expansive Texas sky. Again, no trees to obscure the sunrise or the sunset. The fireflies sparkling in the dark kind of light. The bioluminescent plankton kind of light. This kind of light that surprises and delights and springs up in darkness. Jesus was not necessarily flashy. He was subversive and cryptic and mysterious. He spoke in riddles and lived in ways that defied the decency and expectations of his time. So the kind of light that Jesus is requires faith to trust, faith to let go. It's not something that we can control. Jesus as the light of the world is not a flashlight that we can point towards the thing that scares us. It's an uncontrollable light that will lead us where God would have us go. The kind of light that requires faith to follow. The kind of light that puts us in the right patterns and rhythms spiritually. The kind of light that allows us to see others as amazing children of God and to look in the mirror and see it even for ourselves. The kind of light that won't blind anyone coming down the highway or confuse baby turtles or disrupt flight paths for the northern flicker or the belted kingfisher, who both come through San Antonio twice a year. Friends in Christ, we can do this spiritual work to turn off the distractions, to turn off the things that we think comfort us, and wait for our hearts to become accustomed to the dark so that we can watch as God lights our way. A pastor colleague of mine recently lost her husband unexpectedly. She's been writing about her grief really beautifully and sharing it with friends and family. And this week she spoke of her favorite preaching topic, which is faith. And she wrote, "The opposite of faith is not doubt, but it is certainty. If we are certain, there is no room for faith. If we know it's a sure deal, we don't need any faith. This is what it means to be guided by the light of the world. To not be holding that flashlight ourselves, but trusting the one who directs our path. And if it goes dark, do we lose hope? No. Perhaps the light is out because it is time for us to rest. Can we rest and trust and wait for the light to illuminate again so that we can be a part of the rhythm of grace? Whether it is the spark of a firefly or the inspiring majesty of the Milky Way, God's light will light our path. We, like our forefather in the faith, John the Baptist, are not the light. We have some great artificial light that we can use sometimes, but we are not the light. The one who is faithful to restore the streets to live in, to liberate those who have been oppressed, including our own hearts, to fill us up and allow us to rejoice, to inspire us to pray without ceasing, to remind us to give thanks in all circumstances, to show us how to get out of the way of the Spirit. So what would it look like for us today on this third Sunday of Advent to stop trying to fill up the darkness and numb the pains and avoid the artificial light and instead allow the light of the world to illuminate our path? My prayer for us this morning is that we would embrace that light. That we would stop trying to control whatever things that we have happening and instead wait and watch and step forward in faith that is not sure what will come next. That we might trust. That we might be guided by the light of the world. And as we are, may the God of peace sanctify us entirely. And may our spirits and souls and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the one who calls us is faithful and will do this. And don't forget to follow the Bear Audubon Society on Instagram so that when the birds are coming through, you can turn off the lights. Amen. Let's stand.